Beautiful, beautiful morning, and incredible that the Christmas season is already upon us. Isn't it just amazing? We haven't done this yet this morning. I'd like to invite everyone to just stand up real quick, say hi to one or two people, tell them they look great, tell them the Christmas beard is looking fabulous, ask them if they've seen any snow yet, or just give them a hug and say good morning. All right, go ahead and grab a seat, please. My name is Dwayne. It's an honor to share with you again this morning. One of my first Christmas memories isn't actually my own memory. It's my memory, but it's a memory my parents have shared with me on multiple occasions. So it's one of those things that you believe you remember, but you were probably so young that you don't actually remember it. And there's actually two pieces of this story, because the first part is apparently my mother and I, when I was about 4 years old, made some Christmas cookies as a surprise for my father. And as a four-year-old, I was incredibly excited, et cetera, et cetera. And when he walked in the door, apparently I said, "Dad, Dad, Mom and I have a surprise for you. We made cookies, and I'm not going to tell you." And then apparently that same Christmas season, they had told me that after I went to sleep, they would be putting Christmas presents under the Christmas tree. And I guess Santa Claus didn't make it to that part of the world. And so apparently I spent over an hour laying in bed, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm sleeping. You can put the presents out now. I'm sleeping." Now, a few years later, I have kids of my own, and just a heads up, if you want to keep a secret, it's best not to tell anyone, and especially don't tell them it's a secret if you're talking about children. I'm not sure for you what your first Christmas memory might be. I'm not sure what the first thing would be when you think of Christmas. And obviously, we're in church, and the Christmas story or the Sunday school correct answer would be, well, we think of Jesus, the nativity scene, his birth, et cetera, et cetera. But I like to just think about what we think about beyond that during the Christmas season. For some of you, I'm sure months ago already, you were looking for plane tickets or maybe a bus ticket to go be with family. And maybe for you, it's travel. And maybe it's that great opportunity to once again sit down with relatives and friends and loved ones and share a great meal together. Maybe you're the one that spends hours and hours preparing the meals and having great conversations during the meal preparation, around the Christmas dinner, afterwards, picking your teeth with the toothpick, et cetera, et cetera. And you just love those conversations and the meal times together. Maybe what gets you excited about Christmas is all the Christmas lights and decorations, and you just can't wait to get Christmas lights up all over the place, and you have them on the tree, obviously, and you have them around the house, and you have them in the yard and on the bushes and on the dog, and you know, there's just Christmas lights and flowers and everything everywhere. Or maybe you like the Christmas tree and the decorating of that, or maybe the best feeling for you this Christmas is that you figured it out. And you've realized, you know what, we don't have to do the real Christmas tree. You can actually buy them pre-lit and reuse them. So you're just like, got this warm feeling inside because you know of all the other people that are still struggling to make the real Christmas tree look great, and it's been done and gone for you for a while now. Or I'm not sure what might be for you the first thing or the thing that most warms your heart when you think about Christmas. We're all very different. We come from different places. But probably somewhere in the mix of all the different things I've mentioned, there's something there that we identify with when we think of Christmas that we just enjoy so much during this season. I have a really lofty goal today. And that lofty goal comes around the thesis, around the idea that if we would understand the purpose, the meaning, the why behind Christmas, the whole Christmas season would move from the everyday, from the, yeah, it's another great season, but it's kind of a normal thing we're used to now, to something that impacts our lives every day. So yes, I'm suggesting, as this title says, that Christmas is something we could live, we can celebrate, that can impact our lives every day. Now, another question, and maybe more important than just asking what we think about when we think of Christmas, would be, if you would have to identify one moment or a few minutes that best identify the spirit of Christmas, the meaning, the purpose, the why, the spirit of Christmas, what might that be? And as I was reflecting over the past few weeks, planning especially for today, I have a conclusion. This is my theory. I think the moments that best represent the spirit of Christmas are the moments when a child goes and pulls out a Christmas present from under the tree, tears off the wrapping paper, opens up the cardboard box, pulls out a gift that someone, likely a parent, a relative, someone that loves them, spent hours choosing, spent even more hours earning money to pay for it. But the picture, if we were watching it on a camera, that I'm looking to focus on isn't actually the child's face that's most likely lit up and maybe he's jumping up and down and screaming and, ah, I got it. But if we could turn the camera, it would be on the person who gave the gift. I believe that that emotion, that feeling, that moment that the person who is giving the gift that is being opened best represents the spirit of Christmas. Now, I've been on both sides of the giving and the receiving. In the more recent years, I've been more on the giving end, and that's perfectly fine. I love our family and four kids, etc., etc. So I know what I'm talking about, I think, when I say it, and when actually Scripture even mentions it's better to give than to receive. Now, I'd like to turn our attention to two different passages of Scripture. The first one is found in a book that we call Luke, and Luke was actually a historian who, after Jesus' life and all the things that he taught and did, actually went around and interviewed numerous people and wrote down two different texts that we have currently in what we call the Bible. And this text specifically takes place in what we call the Christmas story, when we're in the Christmas, in the Christian family, excuse me. And we talk about Christmas, we talk about Christ's birth and Jesus as Son of God coming to earth. This is one of those passages around or a part of that story. And the context for this is that there's some shepherds who were taking care of their sheep. Now, very different from today, at least here in Mexico City. I'm not aware of very many shepherds that take care of sheep on the hillside. But this was apparently somewhat quite common in that day, because we read different things about shepherds and sheep, etc., etc. And these shepherds were minding their own business, taking care of their sheep, apparently at nighttime. And an angel, the scripture, the verses actually say the angel of the Lord came and a bright light shone around them. And the very first words, well, actually it says that they trembled with fear. They trembled with fear. Now, just real quick, parentheses. Whoa, that's the parentheses right there. Trembling with fear. Let's do something real quick. That might help us a little bit. That was just special effects, all right? So they were trembling with fear. Now, just a parenthesis. If you're retelling this story and are really interested in being known as the heroes or being part of maybe the founding group of this new movement, you don't give away that kind of details. You don't talk about the trembling knees and the shaking hands because you saw the angel. You would normally tend to give it a little bit of a different slant and say, yeah, well, you know, the little kid, the guy that was tagging along that day, he was shaken, but we were brave. We knew what was coming. So it's interesting, again, side note, how many of these little details, at least for me, give a whole lot of credibility to what is written down in these pages that we call Scripture. So back again, angel of the Lord shows up. There's these shepherds. We don't know how many. We don't know their names. They're trembling with fear. And the angel says something, which is exactly what I would like to read together. He says, fear not. Again, we already touched on that. Apparently, they're freaking out. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the announcement of Christ, the Son of God, Jesus, coming to earth. And I just love what it says here. I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Now, without going too far off track of the topic we're in, I'm very much aware that in many different places, and even places close to where many of us might consider home, Not everyone considers today the message of Jesus as great news or of great joy or good news. Oftentimes, the faith is even related to sometimes made kind of crazy ideas or propositions or ways of life. And I'm completely aware of that. Humbly, I would like to submit that if that's the case, then it's not so much a reflection on the good news or Jesus Christ, but of those that, of us that have tried to live the life he's invited us to live in our context. But the angel said, and I am convinced, and we have seen through centuries and centuries of time, that this is good news of great joy for all people. For that context, for that moment, that was a little bit bigger than they were able to think of, because originally they understood that the Christ, that the Messiah, that Jesus was coming for a select group of people. But the angel made very clear, this is for all people. And that's partly why we're here today in Mexico City, probably on the other side of the world, talking about this, celebrating this today. So basically what had happened earlier before this occasion, Jesus, the Son of God, had become man. God had become man, had come to this earth to live among us, to teach, to fulfill the work of God, which, yes, as was already mentioned, included his death and his resurrection. But right now in Christmas, we're celebrating his birth. And just thinking about it, you thought it was hard to get pajamas on a 2-year-old or get into the jeans you bought for the New Year's. God becoming man is a big, big deal. And this, for me, leads me to think of another very well-known verse. It's likely the verse that if you've ever heard of any verse in the Bible, or if you've seen any mention of verses anywhere, this is probably that verse. Oftentimes we see it on signs in stadiums and in sports games and so forth. John 3:16. And no, they're not normally talking about a player that's on the field and what play they should be playing. But it's actually referring to a text, again, in the Bible, in a book that we call John. And the context for this verse is that Jesus is speaking with a religious leader. Now, for me, as I was thinking about that these few weeks, it came to my attention, this religious leader knew Scripture, knew what the religious thing was all about. So he could have understood anything Jesus would have thrown at him as far as a purpose, or why Jesus had come to this earth, or what it meant to be saved. And Jesus gives him what for me is a very concise, very simple answer. And I just love the simplicity behind it. So much, so often people like myself who study this type of thing, who get very excited about digging in, quote unquote, deep. Sometimes we make it so complicated. But I love Jesus' response, what Jesus said to this teacher of the law, this person who had studied the whole thing and understood. He could have grasped however type of a complicated explanation Jesus would have wanted to give him. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, this teacher, he says, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I'm not sure how often this verse is mentioned during the Christmas season, but do you see it there? God so loved. God so loved that he gave. See, when we have someone we love, and especially in a season like this, we seek out that gift. And we've maybe got it on the Amazon list for weeks, or we've been in the stores, going store to store, trying to find it, or we've been listening to Santa's list, et cetera, et cetera. And we've been seeking out something to express our love that we have for that person. Because love naturally leads us to give. And it says here, God so loved the world that he gave. And for me, that word gave is just, it's packed full. Because he didn't come, and this is huge, he didn't come to take away. He didn't come to demand. He didn't come just to bring a judgment. Yes, that's a part of it later on, et cetera, et cetera. But he came first to give. To give. That God is for us. God is with us. God walked among us. For me, that's just mind-boggling. And it speaks of the character of God. That he loved, that he gave, that he is for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. I think the spirit of Christmas is best represented when we give of ourselves for others. When we give of ourselves for others. Yes, that's often represented in a gift, but it's also represented in many, many, many other ways. And I feel like it's that idea which was first represented, like I just read, in God himself, in Christ himself, giving of himself, sending his only Son, giving of himself for us. I believe it's that idea that if we can truly latch onto, like I said a little bit ago, if we can truly latch onto it, we can move from an everyday, common, whatever. Yes, it's a great season. We get to see people we love, hopefully get some good loot, etc., to having an impact, allowing God to impact our every day. And as Christ followers, we have this amazing opportunity to celebrate, to allow this truth of Christ, of God coming to us, of giving his Son to us, to allow that to permeate our lives. And we often take time to celebrate it during the Christmas season, and I am all for that. I love it. I love the song, and I agree it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm all in. But I truly do believe that if we are to live Christmas to its utmost purpose, why, meaning, it has to go way beyond just the Christmas season. It has to translate into, has to apply to our every day. And as Jesus followers, we have, I would also add, even a responsibility. Because those that are still considering whether or not to believe in Christ or not, what to believe about this whole thing about Christianity, what about the nativity scene, we've got Santa Claus, why do we need that, etc., or even just had a really bad church experience for some reason, somewhere, somehow. We have this incredible opportunity and responsibility to give to others as we have been given, as we have received, to shine this light, to shine this love, to give this in a way, in the same way we have received it from God. We can take it from the everyday, an everyday event, to actually having an impact on our everyday. So I'd like to leave that with you today. As we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate friends and family, as we celebrate great times together, making incredible memories that we will both remember and also be reminded of, may we drink deep, may we breathe deep, may we live truly in the receiving. Yes, I hope all of us get everything on our Santa's Christmas list. But as we give, may we be intentional. May we give of ourselves. May we give of ourselves. Because I believe it's then we most and best represent Christ. We are most like our Savior when we are giving of ourselves for others. And that goes way beyond the everyday. And it definitely translates into our everyday. God, we celebrate this Christmas season, and we are so thankful for the joy and celebration that so many of us experience during this time of year. And once again, we thank you for coming to this earth and giving your Son for us. We are so thankful for your love. We are so thankful for all you have done for us and all you continue doing and all you'll continue doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And God, I just pray that you would help us in this Christmas season, in this coming year, to represent you, to shine your light, giving of ourselves as you have given for us. And may your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So next week is Christmas. Next week is Christmas. And there's an exciting announcement I want to share with you. Next Christmas in the evening,